You ready?
I'm ready.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Our first hymn is page 2036. Dana's going to lead us in Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart.
Dance there,
to us.
Okay. All right, so I brought a very treasured and precious Christmas ornament from our house. Can you guess what this might be? Jeremy's gonna be so annoyed by me. Jeremy, how old were you when you made this?
Probably not that old because I don't know if it's that great of artwork.
It is a chrysalis. For those of you who don't know, every year, Jeremy grows tons of milkweed in our garden, and he always looks for the eggs, and then to help the monarch butterfly population, he takes the eggs into our house, and he raises them in a large fish tank, and then releases them out onto our purple flowers every year to help the migration. So Jeremy, I've got a couple of pictures. Yeah, Jeremy! So I have a couple pictures of our caterpillars and our butterflies. So this was our garden last year. Now that Jeremy's got this whole like little milkweed field, we don't bring them inside anymore. We just let them graze outside. And then Jeremy, if you can go to the next picture, please.
Oh my gosh.
I know. So Mount Mansfield at our dog park where we released our butterflies 1 year onto the purple flowers. So very pretty. As Mitch would say, this is the metaphor coming in. Donna said today we're going to be talking about change because we have Pastor Joel coming to us next week. So I thought, what better to show a beautiful change than a butterfly after all the negative changes we've had in the past year with COVID. So I also found this quote that I wanted to share. It's in this book I'm reading this week. And this quote is by FDR. And it says, I see one-third of a nation ill-housed, ill-clad, ill-nourished. The test of our progress is not whether we would add more to the abundance of those who have much, it is whether we provide enough for those who have too little. And what a timely quote right now, and always. And I thought, yes. At Mitch's last sermon with us, he was sharing about how we have all these different various ministries and that some will change and some will cease and some will grow and flourish. And with Pastor Joel, we'll have changes in that. And we have to embrace them and be ready for the beautiful change of a butterfly. How good is that metaphor?
Listen to your thoughts and feelings. Listen to your impulses and desires. Listen to your longings and fears. Listen to the beat of your own heart. Listen to God's still small voice in the innermost recesses of your being. Our next hymn is 2223. Is that the black or? Black book?
Yes, little black.
We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, and we pray.
Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And I didn't continue with that because there's a lot in the preaching here this morning, or messaging is what I'd rather call it. So the Old Testament, I think we all know this. It's Ecclesiastes 3. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to rebuild, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. And that's as far as I'm going to go. So today, we're talking about changes. And as normal, it has to be about patchwork and quilting. So it's a little long. It's going to give you a history. It's going to give you about family, gratitude, and changes. So the charm squares on the board represent the changes in this church. So the first one in the second row represents this building, which I've been here for 74 years. My first memory in this church is standing on a bench downstairs getting vaccinated for smallpox. And I'll tell you, that was an interesting introduction to this church. The basement had a giant furnace in the middle of the room and a small kitchen and a back room with a bathroom way in the back that worked sometimes and sometimes did not. We did Sunday school, Bible school, and youth group all in that room. While in high school, I worked on a committee to raise money to add the fellowship hall and work towards getting a one-point charge pastor. At that time, when I was 16, we'd had pastors that had Essex, Jericho, and Underhill. And that lasted for a long time. And then when Greg was here, we added the upstairs part to the fellowship hall. And since then, we put a new roof on both the church and the fellowship hall. So that's the building. Now, the next set of squares, row 3, represents pastors. My first recollection is Andrew Currier. And I don't know if there's anybody here that Barb would. And then Paul Lefebvre. And then there were a couple that didn't leave much impression on me since I can't remember their names. We had one guy that was here 1 year. He got married right out of seminary, and he married an 18-year-old. He didn't last very long. And then we had J.B. McNeil, who was from the South, way taller than Greg Smith, and way taller than the new pastor that's coming. We had John Peterson. We had Bob Ross, who got himself into quite a bit of trouble while he was here and was asked to leave by the conference. We had Dick Johnson, Keith Snow, and Jim Clark, who married Larry and I. And then there was Richard Dunn. And they were all short-term pastors, anywhere from 1 to 3 years. I think maybe Jim Clark was here a little bit longer than that, five years. So mostly, that's the way the Methodist system works. It's very itinerant. And then along came Mary. 10 whole years. She started her ministry in her early 40s. She made us sit up and take notice. Working with the youth was a strong point. My boys fell in love with her and really liked church and Sunday school. Then along came Greg, 11 years, another strong pastor who was a bow tie kind of guy, very wordy, but likable. And got us doing some things out of the box. We did 2 services. His music was really impressive. And he took us to another level. Then along came Mitch. 14 years of him. He got us more out of the box. More small groups led by lay people, Fifth Sunday working in the community, which was directly related to Jean O'Connor, who was head of mission. She really put that program into effect. We packed food for food shelves. We did assembly line things downstairs in this church that probably we never would have thought of doing. And we had fun. And we became an inclusive church, reconciling in 2019, and much more. So there's that's the history in the nutshell. And come to find out, the bishop said today's service was to be about this, but I didn't read that until after I had already written it. So kudos to me, right? So now to the nuts and bolts of what I really want to talk about today. And again, the squares represent family, our church families, gratitude for all who work and serve here, and many changes over the years. In the past 24 years, I've gotten up here 3 times when we've had a change of pastors, and I'm sure many of you have been here when that's been happening. And I'm beginning to think it's time for a new job. 1997, several of us talked about changes in our lives. Parkinson's disease, losing a job, parents having Alzheimer's, cancer, and I talked about Mary leaving and Greg coming. In 2007, I talked about Greg leaving and Mitch coming. Today, I'm going to talk about Mitch leaving and Joel coming. So the next set of squares, which is the 4th row, if I'm not mistaken, is changes past and current. So I talked then and now about changes can be hard or easy on people involved and the situation. If we didn't make changes in our lives, we'd have pretty boring lives. And we all know about boring just having gone through the pandemic. For some of you, it was really boring. But I worked all the way through it. Larry worked through it. Many of us did. We all had to be very careful, but we got through this. Most of us have had to make changes. We get married. We have kids. We change jobs, we get new jobs, our kids leave, and then you have an empty house and, wait a minute, they came home. Other changes happen that can be unexpected and scary. Divorce, wars, adult kids making mistakes that can be costly and devastating, death of loved ones, diseases that don't go away, growing old when you think you shouldn't, and then moving, and that's what we're going to be talking about some today. Lifestyles are not a constant, and for changes to be successful, we need willpower, education, communication, and faith that we will be okay. 10 years ago, I read a passage from Romans. Suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. And character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And I think that might have been a different sermon than, was it? She kind of found it on the computer.
2014.
Yeah. So we make friendships, and some are long-lasting, and some go by the wayside, and some come back. I reconnected with a high school friend several years ago who was a quilter, and we had some good times before cancer took her life, but we shared a lot in that short time, and I think many of you have had that same experience, where you leave high school, you go to college, or you don't go to college, you get involved with families, and you lose contact. And I met up with her in the grocery store one day, and it was like, wow, this is good. So we started talking about quilting, of course. And we really had some really great conversations and did a lot of things together. So when Mitch left, we all said we could write a letter to him or whatever. So what I shared with him was, how do we say goodbye to someone who's been a part of our spiritual life for the last 14 years? Well, I said, we don't really. We say, hope to see you again. And even though we may know that that's not going to be true, we still keep him in our hearts. So Mitch and Barb were here for 14 years. We developed a great love for them. But those of us on the PPR, and even many members here, have always known that the Methodist is one of itinerancy, and they could be asked to go at any time. We've been fortunate that for 35 years, we've had 3 pastors. That's not heard of, usually. And since I'm the chair of the PPR, he and I didn't always agree, especially during the pandemic. But we discussed it, we talked it out, and I was pretty damn annoying at times. Believe me, and he knew it too. And it was about communication and what needed to be done when we couldn't meet, and you know, making sure that we all stayed cohesive. So the key word in any relationship, new or old, is communication. You have to talk about how you feel, not just to other people, but to that person or other people involved in the changes. Pastors don't know how you feel in any one day or time if you don't talk to them or you talk to somebody on PPR. There's 10 of us on this PPR committee now. I used to have maybe 6, now I have 10. All different ages. We can't resolve the issues if you don't tell us. But I'm going to share something with you, and some of you, it's going to tick you off. And I'm sorry for that, but it's the truth. So, if you share with us, member of the PPR, something that you want to talk to Joel about, or your, or any pastor, it doesn't have to be Joel or Mitch, but it will be Joel from now on, and you tell us, we are obligated to talk to him about it and tell him your name. Otherwise, he can't or she can't do anything about it. So that is something that you all need to keep in the back of your head. And the other thing is that, and Mitch knows this very well, he's already been caught at it. Pastors, when they leave, are not supposed to come back to the church that they served for at least a year. And they're supposed to have very limited communication with their parishioners. And that goes for the parishioners also. I know that may be very difficult to hear, but the reason for that being is so that the new pastor can become involved with the congregation and be part of our family. And I found out about that kind of the hard way. Many, many years ago, I took an elderly friend to a church of a former pastor, and she politely said to me, "Why are you here?" Which I didn't know about this. I didn't know that we couldn't visit or anything, but so I had a comeuppance at that time. So I just want you all to know that you need to respect that distance, and Mitch knows he's supposed to be doing that also. So the next set, which I think now we're on the fifth row, is changing pastors. So how do we come to this new change in pastors? Well, I got a call on a Thursday in February from Jill, our DS, and she says, "You need to get your team together for this coming Saturday for a Zoom meeting." She didn't tell me why, but I knew why. It wasn't my first rodeo. So we all met that Saturday by Zoom with Jill, Mitch, and Barb to hear them tell us they had accepted a co-position at Harvard Epworth in Cambridge, Mass, effective July 1st. This was certainly not expected. We had earlier in December already told Jill, and we'd written a letter that we were happy with Mitch and we wanted him to continue. And he'd also been talking about retiring here. But things happen. So at the end of that meeting, I told Jill she had to get us someone good or better. Exactly the same words I told Bob Lowenthal when Greg was leaving. Jill told me it could take a couple of weeks or months. It actually took a week. But I want to tell you about something that Mitch shared with us at the exit interview that we were required to do. Donna was there, Christine was there, Josh was there. So at the interview, I said to Mitch, "What happens if you had said no?" Because he could say no. And at that time, he did share with us that he'd already said no twice in the last 14 years while he'd been here, because it was not a good fit. But he also said, depending on the bishop, if you said no too many times, you could end up in the hinterland of Maine. So this is how Mitch and Barb found out about being asked to become pastors in Cambridge. The pastor in Cambridge, Mass, notified the conference in December that he was retiring early. because of health issues. So the way Mitch explained it to us, the DS, the district superintendents, I don't know if the bishop isn't on it, but it's a big conclave is what I call it. They get together in a circle and they talk about the fact that we have an opening. It was the first opening, actually, that was going to happen for 2021-22. And so when they started talking about it, he said the first names that, and Jill didn't throw this name out, another district superintendent did, Barb and Mitch. And that's where it took off from there. So that was probably early January. They were called and asked, I believe. We met with them on February 12th or 13th, and they had known about it for about 2 weeks and trying to make their decision. So it was probably sometime in January that they were asked to serve in Cambridge, Mass. So that's how that came about. So before I talk to you about Joel and Grace, I have a letter I want to read to you. In 2018, when Bridget Farrell was here, she was our superintendent, she asked us to write a letter to the future pastor, possibility of a future pastor. And that was because at the time, Chloe was headed to college. And oftentimes, that's when they move pastors. That's what happened when Greg left here. Noah was headed to high school. And I believe Natalie was headed to college. So they think they can make a shift when the kids are transitioning out. Well, it didn't happen. But we did write the letter. And then I updated it this year when we had to send all of our information, our profile and stuff. Jill had to get it to Joel. So, dear future pastor, greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks for your impending arrival and look forward to seeing you face to face. Here's a little bit about our community we'd like you to know. We affirm that all are children of God through faith in Christ. There is no people young or old, male or female, black or white, straight or LGBTQ. We are all one in Him. This is not an affirmation we take lightly. We do not view it as mere words, but rather a call to action. We became a reconciling church in 2019. Our congregation has a vibrant life along the same lines. Despite our modest size, we support multiple small groups and classes that meet on a weekly or biweekly basis. These groups are a great way for new folks to feel comfortable from the moment they set foot in the building. Likewise, our leadership team boasts an age range of 90 years, and I think we just went past that because Midge Yates is going on 93, from youngest to oldest. Indeed, we have a large cohort of longtime members who tie us to the traditions of Methodism in Essex, whose counsel and experience are invaluable as a younger cohort rises in numbers and vigor. What this tells you about you tells you that that at Essex United Methodist Church, value continuity, regardless of how long any one of us has been attending or a member. Truly, once someone has received our passing of the peace, hospitality, they know that this is a community with both roots and a vibrant future. We are here for each other and together in Christ. Accordingly, we've developed a habit of being a long-term assignment for pastors. Over the past 35 years, more than a generation, we have only had three pastors. They were three very different people, but they all shared our commitment to grow together as a community of faith. We look forward to a similarly long tenure with you. We welcome you to our family. Yours in Christ, Essex United Methodist Church. And that was given to Jill, updated, and as I understand it, all of that information went to Joel. So now, I'll tell you how we came about with Joel. And let's see, I'll get out of our line here. Okay. So on February 21st, a Sunday afternoon, Jill called me and said, get your team together for a Zoom meeting on Tuesday evening. She had a candidate, and that's all I was told. Let me tell you, in pastor interviews, you have no resume, you have no photos to look over before the person gets here. But the usual way before the pandemic was that the chair of PPR and the district superintendent goes to the parsonage and we meet them there. Then all the committee and spouses take them to dinner, and then we go back to the church to interview, and the pastor does a short service. That wasn't the case this time. We did Zoom with Joel for 2.5 hours. So we met Joel and Grace by Zoom from Bloomfield, New Jersey, another conference. And the reason for that is, and I think we have to say thank you to the bishop, or else we still could be waiting to have a pastor. Some churches are. Joel knew the bishop because our bishop had been the bishop there in New Jersey before he became New England's. So sometime recently, Joel told the bishop if there was ever an opening in Vermont, he would be very interested. So then we went on to asking tons of questions. Think about being interviewed by somebody screen to screen, can't shake their hand, can't touch them, can't do anything. So then one of the questions we asked was, why a small church? Because he's coming from a very large church. And his answer was, we're older now, we're 60, and we feel we can do more what we would like to do. Our 4 kids are grown up. So Jeremy, do you want me to move that so you can put the photo up, or is it gonna work? Okay. Well, I understand he looks a little different than that now.
And he kind of got a haircut.
But anyway, they're hikers, he likes the garden, he rides a Harley. Grace is a musician and an artist. Don and I have met him, Josh and Art have met him. Jeremy, have you met him?
Yep,
and Dana has met him. He's very easy to talk to, he's very down to earth, and if you walk through that hallway, you will see how quickly he's moved in. There's so many boxes there, you can't begin to count them. So, and he wants to meet all of you, either on your own turf, or Christine and Paula are working on little groups for this summer. That's how he wants to get to know you. And I would also encourage you to invite him and Grace to lunch or dinner, just so that he can really, on one-on-one. I'm meeting with him Tuesday night to go over paperwork as he comes to us as an employee. So the last of the squares that aren't hanging, you see how they kind of go down? Well, the reason for that is because it's a new beginning with Joel and Grace, but they're going to get attached quickly. But I want to give you the full background of what we were given and what I also said on Zoom to all of you back in February. So he comes to us from Park United Methodist Church in Bloomfield, New Jersey, where he served for 10 years. It's a large church serving multicultural and multinational faith community. Over 20 countries are represented. He speaks several languages. His wife, Grace, is an artist and a musician. She's been on the staff there. I believe now we're understanding that maybe she's going to start piano lessons or something to follow her own passion. So he's coming from another conference, which is unusual. And as I told you, he just requested an opening if it ever happened. He's also told us that there's 3 bedrooms at the parsonage. One is his and Joel's, or Grace's. One is his office, and one is for guests, so his kids can't stay longer than one night. He has one grandchild that's 4 years old. He grew up in Virginia. He was born in D.C. and has lived in many states. He's done many mission trips as a pastor. He went to Dartmouth, Conallaire for theology, and has his doctorate from New York Seminary. But his degrees, once you meet him, I think you'll see, okay, those are on paper, but he doesn't flaunt them. And he's got a great sense of humor. He's very down to earth. And he's had over 30 years in the ministry. He's skilled in justice advocacy, strong community organization, strong interfaith and social services, food bank and food shelves, pastoral care and counseling. We asked about working with children because we do have a lot of young children. And he said he's been very involved with young kids and families and thinks nothing of getting down there on the floor with them. So I think my feeling is that we are going to be doing more stuff out of the box. That's the way I call it, because Mitch got us up more out of the box and to thinking that way, and I think Joel will. Joel told us in the meeting that Don and I had with him in late April, he says, I'm not coming to change you. I'm coming to work with you. But he does have some really new ideas, which I think will be worthwhile. So, in that photo, well, wherever it went, that was taken last September when they were hiking in Manchester. And I remember asking him for a photo of casual, because the interview was very dressed up. And I said I wanted to see him in his working clothes. So that's why we got that photo. And I understand he has his own rototiller. He's not afraid of hard work. He loves to garden.
He has an amazing set of wind chimes back there.
Oh, he does. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. And
the other day, the first thing he showed us was a smoker because I brought pulled pork. And he was like, oh, vinegar, no vinegar. And so, yeah.
Okay. So, anyway, we really truly felt that night that he was a perfect fit for us, and it was a unanimous decision for him to come here. And so Jill had asked him to leave the room by Zoom, so then we all talked together and discussed it and came up that we really wanted him. So then we had him come back in, and I said, welcome to Essex Center United Methodist Church, and he went, phew! And I'm sure this is a big change for him. He's coming from a church that he said when he started there, it was mostly white, and now it's 80% multicultural and 20% white. So he's seen a lot of changes in the last 10 years, and this is going to be small, but he wants it small. And I think we're going to really enjoy him, and I want you all to please give the man a chance. I mean, I can't imagine what it's like going from church to church every so many years and having to meet new families and get started all over again. It's bad enough when kids leave. And I think of, like, Mitch, I know Mitch and Barb, Mitch especially had a hard time with this, but I think of it like when our kids leave from us when they're 18 and go to college or go off to get married. It's a big change, but it's part of life. And yes, we grieve, but we become used to it at some point in time, and we know that it's good all the way around. So I personally hope that you will all welcome them. And next Sunday we have a big, what we hope is big, coffee hour downstairs. And Dawn has gotten name tags. We're going to be wearing name tags, right?
Yep.
And we probably will have to do that for several weeks for him to get used to us. So the last part of this is where that little piece starts to go back up in the last row. That means we've become attached. And it's not going to take us very long, that's my feeling, that we will close right in, just like we have with all of our other pastors. And so I understand that you all are grieving having Mitch and Barb leave, and that they gave us a lot while they were here, and we're not going to forget it. But I believe the best we have had will become even more so with Joel and Grace. We are family, and we have a lot of love to give, as we have proven with Mary, Greg, and Mitch. So let us show Joel and Grace that same love, and God will be with us as we walk together through the change. And our squares are going to fill in and get tightly attached. So we have to remember that God is good. He's good all the time. And we are going to be okay. And this is a new move for all of us. And I think it's going to be good and fine. So now I'll be quiet for a moment. So our last hymn is On Eagle's Wings, 143.
God will raise you up on earth.
Now we come to the part of prayers of the people in the Lord's Prayer. And I have to tell you, I don't know how Don feels about this, but this is probably the hardest part for any of us to put together in a service like this. It's just not an easy thing for us to come up with a prayer of concern afterwards. So my prayer is an internet prayer, so it's a very good one, but I just couldn't write one. So anybody, first of all, we do have some that have already been given to me. Paula Pickering, as many of you know, is down in the Cape. Her sister passed away this week. She'd been with hospice for several weeks. So Paula's down there. She will be back next Saturday. Gail. Godfrey is in New York. I think she got back last night. Her brother-in-law's dad passed away this weekend, and so they went down for the service. Our sister-in-law, Joyce Holmes, is back in the hospital. She got an infection from her back surgery of 5 weeks ago, and she had to be opened up again, and she's in not very good shape, so we would like prayers for her. And then Catherine gave me some. Her former student, Catherine Woolley, has a huge brain aneurysm, surgeries in 2 weeks, and her mom, Corabel, has another flare-up from the, is it gout? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Gout flare-up, and also this weather makes her breathing very difficult, so we need to be thinking of her. So are there others that you want to share? Barb? Oh yes, Don and Norma Strickland have moved down to Harborview into assisted living, which is down off Shelburne Road.
Yes,
yeah. And understand from Don's talk with Peggy, and they're very happy there, so
yes,
that's good. And Don has the phone number if anyone would like it. Barb?
Peggy White is coming out of the Rustin House and moving past Chilton.
Oh, really? Peggy White is? Wow. Okay. Anyone else?
We have a prayer from Narda. Prayers for the family of Ellie Euclid. They are going through difficult times and are missing Ellie much.
And again, for Joel and Grace, as they make their presence here next week, and hopefully as many of you can come as possible to be present for that and give them a great welcome. So let us pray. And then we can do the Lord's Prayer after. Holy God, we come before you in prayer, lifting to you the joys and concerns, the hopes and dreams of our lives. May we also be open to your voice in our lives, that we may see with new eyes and hear with new ears the direction you will have us to go. Bless, we pray, this gathering of your people, that we may grow and flourish in your love and grace for the purpose to which you have called us. Hear our prayers for those whose lives have touched us, those who are in pain, those who are ill, those who grieve. May we touch their lives, not only through our prayers, but through our lives and actions as well. Guide us, bless us, uplift us, and hold us, for we are your children called to our purpose in your world. Hear our prayers, those spoken and those hidden in our hearts. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Join with me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. So, some of the announcements. As you know, we haven't restarted the offering here at church, so we're still having it mailed or handed to me for the moment. Sometime in July, we're hoping we get the offering back on board here. But I would urge you, if you're behind, to try to get a check out to us or make a payment. We just spent a lot of money getting the parsonage ready. We have the money, that's not the issue, but our coffers are getting a little bit lower than they were. But just a reminder, if you are behind, appreciate it. We also, flowers for next week. Christine has asked that if you have flowers, if you could bring them to put on the tables downstairs. We have plenty of vases, but if you have your own container, that's fine too. Chris was in here yesterday and she set up downstairs and she did a great job. And, so birthdays this week are June Packard and Breck Norton. Anybody else that you know of? Well, my son is going to be 50 on July 1st. Good Lord. So, and we have coffee hour. We set our first, we're trying to get back onto a regular schedule. So we are going to have an ad council meeting in July just to catch up because we haven't had one since May. And Saturday the 17th of July is Food Shelf. July 17th for Food Shelf, and it's so see Kathy for that. And I really want to give a big thanks to all the people in this congregation, trustees, helpers. I know Fred and Marlene were over there. Ron and Claire has done an incredible job. And there's Bob McLean. I don't even know half the people that worked over there. But you've all done a great job, and the transition team has stuck together in getting things ready for Joel and Grace, and I appreciate every bit of it, as well as I think the rest of the people will too. There is still a Monday night Bible study. See Lori for that. And we are doing communion next Sunday. Joel is, Don's talked with him. He's going to do it two ways, at home, still with virtual, you do it your way. Here it will be by intinction, or we're going to have the little cups. We'll have both available. So that's next Sunday. I think, is that all of the announcements that I was supposed to talk about? Okay. So if we can do the benediction together. May the strength of God sustain us. May the power of God preserve us. May the hands of God protect us. May the way of God direct us. May the love of God go with us this day and forever. And our last song is Shalom.